عمر كسهابا, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. And it is our spiritual breakfast, our advice, pieces of advice, golden pieces of advice segment. And this is with Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Damat Barakatuhu. Today is the 18th of, I was going to say the 18th of Badr, because we still have that motivation of Badr from yesterday, still recovering, the 17th of Badr, the 17th of Ramadan rather, and today is the 18th of Ramadan. So we have Mufti Muhammad Aku Sahab Damat Barakatuhu, who's going to be elaborating on the Battle of Badr, inshallah. We did start the other day, we're going to continue today. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan wa jazakumullah for the opportunity. Allah accept us for his deen.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. Mufti Sahab, you may continue, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. So we mentioned the initial stages. It wasn't just Badr, there was a start to Badr, alhamdulillah. And in the chapter of the Quran Kareem, Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how Allah ta'ala made it happen that this expedition took place. This is known as Yawmul Furqan. If you look at it logically, two Arab tribes having a war among them, it wouldn't have been a known entity to the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that this is an event that was known, and this was one of the most integral battles in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that this expedition took place. Otherwise, the superpowers of the day was the Persians and the Roman empires. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made happen. So what we were discussing is Muslims arrived at the battlefield. They departed from Medina Munawwara on the 12th of Ramadan. And en route, there were a few stops. There was a place where they stopped, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam analyzed his men and he sent a few of the youngsters back. We mentioned Hazrat Umayyah bin Abi Waqqas, who Allah's Nabi allowed to join. And him having the correct age, he was more than 15, he was about 16, but he was very, very tiny in build, but he was emotional. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him, Umayr bin Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. And alhamdulillah, the Sahaba continued, and it was just before the expedition, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned right at the beginning of the 10th juz of the Qur'an Kareem, where the Muslims and the Mushrikeen were situated. إذ أنتم بالعدوة الدنيا وهم بالعدوة القصوى والركب أسفل منكم. You were on the nearer part of the mountain hill, and they were on the furthest part. And lower than you on another route was the caravan. And Allah Ta'ala says, and this is in verses 42 of Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8. وَلَوْ تَوَاعَدْتُمْ لَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِي الْمِيعَادِ. If you actually had an appointment to meet, meaning the Muslim army and the army of the Mushrikeen of Makkah, if you had appointed, you'll had an appointment to meet at a certain time, you would not have made it for that appointment. But Allah made these two armies meet divinely. وَلَكِنْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this expedition to take place. Then we were mentioning how the Mashura took place, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know the view of the Ansar. Because prior to this, they had not participated in any expedition, and their part of defending deen was in Medina Munawwara. And that was the bay'ah they took in the meeting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam few years prior in Makkah Mukarrama at Aqaba. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know, what do they feel? Are they part and parcel? Are they happy with it? And Allahu Akbar, the great Sahabi Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu stood up on behalf of the Ansar. And he said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we have of our wealth belongs to you. You take from it what you want. You leave with us what you want. And what you take of our wealth is more beloved to us than what you leave with us. And then when Hazrat Sa'ad said this, he's known as the Siddiq of the Ansar. We know Hazrat Abu Bakr as the Siddiq of the Ummah. But the Siddiq of the Ansar is Hazrat Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. from day one, what a great support he was to Allah's deen. And his words actually motivated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this teaches us a very pertinent lesson. In life, always be positive and give courage to people. Imagine sometimes what a person may say can uplift the morale of even a very great person. And imagine here Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned about what do and how the Ansar feel. And Hazrat Sa'ad spoke, and this brought joy to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then alhamdulillah, a few other events took place. There was a water hill, and it had a water pond that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims took charge of. But what's interesting here is, when they had camped at a certain point, there was a sahabi by the name of Hubab. He posed a question. And look how respectful and how wise. He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, where we are camped now, is this a spot Allah commanded you to camp in? Or is it just what you feel?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, Allah hasn't commanded us." So this sahabi says that if Allah has commanded us, I will not give my opinion. Otherwise, if it's open to opinion, then I may present and ask and put forth my opinion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, you may. Balil ra'yu wal makida. You can't tell us what is your strategy and what is your opinion." He said, "Oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel we go further down. There's another camping ground that is much better." And he gives his reasons. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What Hubab said is correct." And he then commanded Sahaba to implement what he said at that occasion. So what we learn from here, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that you can be the best and the most wise and the most intelligent, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best, the most wise, the most intelligent in all aspects. But here, he is still open to opinion. A Sahabi would give him his opinion and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could accept it. This is the beauty of the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, as the expedition went forth, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that among them is a man who's riding a red camel, and he has the most wisdom of them. And it so happened that that happened to be one of the leading mushrikeen, Utbah bin Rabi'ah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he has more wisdom than the others. And that's exactly what was the reality. Because Utbah encouraged and exhorted the mushrikeen that, "Why are we fighting? Why are we fighting the Muslims? What's the purpose behind this? It's just, you know, they have chosen Islam. We are living peacefully in Makkah. What are we fighting against them for?" And then if it is for the blood money of Amr bin Hadrami, then I will pay the blood money. And that was an expedition that happened prior, when the four were taken captive and one was shot and he passed away, Amr bin Hadrami. So they say, "No, this is for revenge for that." He said, "I will pay the blood money. Let's go back." This would cause more repercussion and more trouble. Abu Jahl then got up. See, he knew how to put pressure on people and how to make people feel and corner them in situations and get them to do what he wanted. He had this way of manipulating people. So he says, "Oh, you are just petrified and scared and cowardly. This is why you do not want to fight them. You know that conquering them is as easy as sitting down to enjoy camel meat." And he insulted Utbah in public. And this was something Utbah couldn't bear. And then, despite all of that, he had the wisdom. He said, "We should go back." Now when the battle starts with the mushrikeen on the one side and the Muslims on the other side, the first man to come forth to combat and challenge was Utbah. And let's not forget the pertinent dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made on the expedition day, that night before the expedition, that Thursday night, which was, for example, the night before Friday. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was crying to Allah, making dua to Allah, that, "Allah, you help my ummah." And then he implored and begged and beseeched Allah, saying, "In tahlik hadhihi al-isaba lan tu'bad, O Allah, if this small group of mine gets destroyed, then how would deen remain on this earth?" He was imploring, he was beseeching, he was begging Allah to such an extent that his cloak, his shawl fell, and Hazrat Abu Bakr picked it up, placed it on his shoulders and said, "O Allah's Nabi, you have implored Allah enough now." And from here we learn how pertinent was the position of the Sahaba of Badr, that through them, deen comes alive. That was a critical point known as Yawmul Furqan, the day Allah made that decision, that Haqq will triumph over batil and falsehood. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam begged Allah. Anyway, to crux the incident, because all of you have been listening to lectures and discussions on Badr, I want to just complete this discussion and go into something else that happened after Badr. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then there's a very pertinent woman that I want to mention, her children, that sadly very few of us know. What happened here was Utbah with his brother Shayba, with Utbah's son Walid, come forth challenging the Muslims. Who comes forth to take them on in this duel and this combat? None other than three Ansari young men known as Auf, Mu'adh, the two sons of Harith, and the third was Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu. These two's father's name was Harith. Their mother's name was a very, very great person, unknown to many today. She was a mother who bore seven sons, all of whom were veterans of Badr. Four of her sons born in Makkah Mukarramah makes them Muhajirin. Three of her sons born in Medina Munawwara, they were the Ansar. Her first husband Bukair had Aqil, Khalid, Iyas, and Bukair. And her second husband, Harith, had from her three sons, because her first husband passed away, Mu'az, Mu'awwaz, and Auf, radiallahu anhum. Imagine two of her sons run forth with Abdullah bin Rawaha, taking on the challenge of the senior mushrikeen of Makkah, Utbah, Shayba, and Walid. Then Utbah said, you know what? We do not want to fight you. You are not of our tribe. We want of our own. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed, Qum ya Hamza, Qum ya Ali, Qum ya Ubaidah, radiallahu anhum. And the three went forth. And in this duel, alhamdulillah, the Muslims conquered and defeated. And this uplifted the morale of the Muslims. Ubaidah was badly injured. He was carried to the camp and was treated, but thereafter became shaheed. Ubaidah bin Harith, radiallahu anhum. What happened here was, in this expedition, the famous event happened between Abdul Rahman bin Auf, where he notices on his either side young men in their latter teens, 18, 19. There were two of them. And later on, there was a third who also was part and parcel of this mission. So the one says to Abdurrahman, Abdurrahman says, I actually felt in my heart, I wish there was someone more elderly next to me. But afterwards, I realized the valorism and the bravery of these men. He says to me, uncle, would you show me Abu Jahl? And the other then quietly said the same. So I'm wondering what you all want to do with Abu Jahl. And their reaction was, don't you know how much of harm he caused to our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah? We have to go for him. We're now on the battlefield. And alhamdulillah, when I spotted Abu Jahl, I indicated to the youth, and they both, not considering anything else or any dangers surrounding Abu Jahl that could be a risk for them, they darted towards him, striking him. The one then ended up striking the horse, the other, the horseman, and Abu Jahl was put to the ground. The two young men, and there was a third also, who was also their friend. So the two were the sons of Afra. Let's remember her. Their father was Harith, their mother was Afra. The third who was a friend of theirs, his name was Mu'adh bin Amr bin Jamuh, the lame Sahabi, his son. Anyway, they run to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the good news. And they continued the battle thereafter. In that, Mu'awwaz was shaheed, radiallahu anhu. Mu'adh lived on, but as he was fighting, Ikrimah struck his arm and severed him totally, except a few shreds of his arm that were still stuck to his limb. And as he was fighting for Allah, his arm was dangling, and it was becoming a nuisance and a hindrance because it had no strength in it whatsoever left. It was just hanging on some threads, basically, shreds of flesh, nothing else. with no strength in it or ability in it whatsoever. But imagine, he didn't want anything to hinder him from his objective. He placed his arm under his foot and pulled, wrenching his arm, severing it from his body. And he continued striving and fighting with one hand. Imagine the level of bravery. Imagine this level of valorism, ya Allah. Until the end of the expedition, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, where's your arm? Find it and bring it to me. And he brought the arm to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khadi Iyad in his Shifa mentions Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam miraculously with Allah's help cured his arm. Anyway, this battle ended with victory for the Muslims. And then also there was a discussion of booty, and Allah Ta'ala resolves that issue. And interestingly, there was one man, Umayyah bin Khalaf, who was the man who tortured Hazrat Bilal, radiyallahu anhu. And now there's a very interesting incident of how he died thereafter. When the great Sahabi, who was his friend, Abdurrahman bin Auf, took him, but then it was part of the wisdom of the Battle of Badr that he was finished off. But I want to mention to you Umayyah's son, Safwan. So anyway, the Battle of Badr ended. The Muslims were victorious. 70 of the senior mushrikeen were defeated, conquered. 70 were taken captive. What happened to these captives? They were escorted to Medina Munawwara. And in Medina Munawwara, they were kept next to Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that also was for them to see the beauty of Islam. It was the month of Ramadan. It's the month of Ikram. It's the month of mercy. It's the month of generosity. It's the month of amal. It's the month of ibadah. And these captives were treated very, very well. Many of them, they would give recounts thereafter that how well Muslims treated us. They would feed us, and then they would eat. They would care for us and take care of us. The mushrikeen who were in captivity of the Muslims were left for a period of time until their people came and ransomed them. So that was quite a few days, a number of days, where they were given that opportunity to take effect from the environment of Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's an incident that happened in Makkah just after Badr. A man who was one of the senior mushrikeen, who was also one of the commanders. His name was Umayr bin Wahab. He one day sat by the Kaaba with the son of Umayyah bin Khalaf, who died in Badr. So Umayyah's son was Safwan, and Umayr are two friends, close friends, relatives, and a discussion ensued by the Kaaba. What's the discussion? Allahu Akbar. Where the one said, Safwan said, you know, there's no good in life after our seniors have gone. Umayr also then added on, and he says, you know, I also feel the same way. In fil aishi ba'dahum khair, lawla daynun alayya. If it's not for my debts, wa'ayalun akhsha alayhim al-dhi'a, and my subordinates, my duties, my daughters, that I worry neglect of them after me, I would go now to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Safwan seized the opportunity. This was a discussion that took place between the two of them in privacy inside the semicircle of the Kaaba. There was no one else there. There was no one even anywhere near them. Safwan said, you know what? I'll take care of your daughters. I'll spend on them. And I will pay your debts. What you said there, carry it out. He says, done. Don't let anybody know of this conversation between us until it is materialized. Umayr prepares, poisons his sword. He undertakes his journey and he travels for days in the direction of Medina Munawwara. As he arrives in Medina Munawwara and halts his conveyance by the door of the Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just then it so happened that Sahaba were rehearsing and discussing Badr, for our understanding. They were doing a ta'leem and a revision of Allah's help and incidents that happened in Badr. Hazrat Umar was amongst them. And during that discussion, the report says, فَحَانَتْ مِنْ عُمَرَ إِلْتِفَاتَةٌ. Hazrat Umar just happened to casually turn in that direction, and unintentionally, it was not objective, he just spotted Umayr. And Hazrat Umar was a man of intuition and foresight. and he felt the reality. Allah would guide him. He realized that Umair has come with evil intent. And he gets up and he charges in the direction of Umair. And he grabs Umair by the collar, feeling in his heart that Umair came here with wrong intentions. What do you want? Umair, what have you come for? Umair says, nothing, nothing. In that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears the commotion and he comes out and he says, Umair, you have come. Umar, leave him, release him. Atliqhu ya Umar. And Umar then left his collar and Allah's Nabi said, come closer, Umair. And then Umair is greeted by saying, an'im sabahan, good morning. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah gave us a better greeting than good morning. Allah has given us salam. So Umair then also said, but you know, not long ago you were saying the same thing we're saying. You were also saying with other greetings, what's this new greeting of salam and so forth? So we learn from here the beauty of explaining to non-Muslims what is the meaning of salam and how amazing is the greeting of salam. Because here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains to Umair that Allah has given us the greetings of the people of paradise. Tahiyyatu Ahlil Jannah. And if you've got Christian friends, you can tell them that Jesus also greeted with salam. And salam means may Allah give you peace. And salam means that I promise you and assure you that I won't harm you. And salam also means may Allah who is as-salam be there for you and solve your issues. And even this meaning of peace and tranquility and happiness, everyone is looking for happiness. Allahu Akbar, just not long ago I was in the airport and I started giving some literature to some non-Muslims. And some of the staff who were working there said to me, but what is this? This is nothing. You know, you want money. So I took out some time. And normally we give the passengers also, the travelers also, and these were some of the staff, but their reaction was shocking. So he says, that you know what, this is not what we want. We want money. So I said, let me explain to them in a few minutes that, you know, the reality of the world is those that don't have think that the day we have lots of money, we'll be happy. And then those who then hit it big and make a lot of money realize that, you know what, we have it all, but we're still not happy. And they become so miserable that they end up suicidal. And then he asked me, what's the solution then? So I said, whether we have or not, the main thing is to build our bond with our Creator, because that would be our only means of salvation and tranquility and peace and happiness and contentment. Anyway, they were quite amazed by just those simple words that humanity is looking for peace. Peace is in connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, in this discussion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Umair, why have you come? He says, no, because he had an alibi. His plan was to catch Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam unawares and stab Allah's Nabi. But if he would get captured or seized or arrested or questioned, he had his answer. No, my son is in your captivity. I only came for him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then asked him, but didn't you and Safwan bin Umayyah sit by the Kaaba? بل قعدت أنت وصفوان بن أمية في الحجر وقلت لولا دين علي وعيال أخشى عليهم الضيعة لغدوت إلى محمد حتى أقتله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله حائل بينك وبين ذلك. Didn't you utter such words in the semicircle next to the Kaaba, inside the Kaaba? That's a semicircle, the open part of the Kaaba. And you uttered words as such to say that had it not been for my debts and my daughters, I would go now and end off Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once and for all. I can't take this anymore. Didn't you say this? And he was shocked. Then Allah's Nabi says, you know, Allah won't let this happen because life and death is in his hands. Umair was shocked. He knew there was no one in hindsight or proximity to hear that conversation. And immediately he uttered, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced Islam and he changed his life. He spent some time in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spent some time in the learning and the teaching in Masjid al-Nabawi. But what's happening to Safwan? That side in Makkah, Safwan is seeing the misery of the Meccan people. So he would give them reassurance and give them solace to say, don't worry, soon such an incident you will hear of. Tunsikum waqa'ata badrin. You'll hear about something that will make you forget about the atrocities and the losses of Badr. And he would daily give them this reassurance. And now days become weeks. Weeks becomes more than that, months. And now he's getting restless. He's coming out onto the main road looking for people who are coming from the direction of Medina Munawwara, asking them, did anything happen in Medina? Is there any strange news? And no one would say anything. They'd say, no, nothing. We come from there. Everything is calm. Everything is smooth sailing. And then until one day, when he asked someone, did anything happen? Any news in Medina Munawwara? In Medina, he would say. Yathrib, they called it. He said, yeah, you know what happened? Umair bin Wahab embraced Islam. This was a shock to Safwan. He felt strongly that if there's no one left on the face of the earth except Umair, Umair would still not become Muslim. And yeah, Umair embraced Islam. Ya Allah. It made him angry and upset. Another thing we learn, a man who hated Islam so much that Hazrat Umar would say, Umair was known as a devil from the devils of Quraysh, Shaytanum min Shayateen Quraysh. And Hazrat Umar would say, a man who was worse than a swine. This is the quotation. Today I love him due to Iman more than some of my own children. فَهُوَ الْيَوْمَ أَحَبْ إِلَيَّ مِنْ بَعْضِ أَبْنَائِي. This is the love Islam brings. But such a person who was so against Allah's deen in the environment and the company of Janabi Rasulullah, in the environment of masjid, that environment changed him. He becomes a servant of Allah's deen. Our time has elapsed. We have to complete the discussion at some other time. But remember, give humanity hope. Anybody can change. Give the dawah. Allah give us tawfiq. Month of Ramadan, hearts are soft. Spread the word of Allah's deen. Spread the message of the translation of the Quran. And bring people to experience the beauty, the environment of masjid. Bring your friend to make iftar with you. Let him experience. He'll get hidayat. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for that inspirational message. Make dua for us. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From us and the team, we say Jazakumullahu khairan to you, O listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.